first step to being able to make progress on this is identifying those negative thought patterns. You know, this is the only way that you can rewind.
You've just tuned into Rebel Wellness Podcast, your resource for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick-fix diets and unrealistic beauty and body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture. Adopt a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. What's up, Rebel? Welcome back to another episode of Hot Take Summer. We are winding down in the Hot Take Summer series as we just entered August. Welcome, Leo season. This is a time for you to kind of get a second, like, gust of energy. A gush of energy? I'm not sure what phrase or word I would use for it, but like a whole new way to enter a really motivated and intentional time to be, you know, in the second half of the year. Like, we are officially in the latter half of 2024. It's wild. I don't even know where time has gone. But this year for me, guys, like a little quick caveat, catch up, get to know your host a little bit better, is I've been, a lot of you kind of already know this, but I've been working on my own personal health. You know, I found out that like I have some significant imbalances that are due to just me totally partaking in hustle culture, totally being a workaholic in some areas, and just serving too much, like to the detriment of myself. And it became very clear the last couple of years that I just waysided my own well-being. And it was really important for me to actually walk the walk, because I coach my clients on this all the time. And who am I to not actually do what I am coaching, right? And embody what I preach, like I said. And so for me, I've been really slowing down. Like, this has been the year of slow yourself down. There was this place we went to in Kauai, that Hanalei, and they had this little shop, and their slogan was slow yourself down. And I was like, oh my God, I need to almost buy everything in this store, so whenever I wear it or I see it, I will be remembered, or I'll be reminded rather, to slow myself down. And I did buy a shirt and a couple of like mugs. And so every time I do see them, it does remind me that, because it's something that I think is becoming a global energy right now. I've been seeing more and more and more people on either social media or, you know, in the workspace, just embodying the right to have some leisure and the right to have pleasure. You know what I mean? That we don't have to be born to become little worker ants and sacrifice ourselves all the time for our wellness. And that's extremely important, because in the end, guys, like, I was always raised to understand that no matter what in life, you will always find a way. There are always more jobs to take. There are always more friends to make. You know, there's always more skills to build, areas to explore, states to live in. You know, there's so many things out there that most of us don't ever explore or think is an opportunity, because we limit ourselves mentally. It's literally just because we tell ourselves we can't do it or we shouldn't do it, in a totally messed up belief system that sometimes we're raised with, especially from older generations, you know, because that's the mindsets that were trained into them to become little sacrifice their lifers. And in the big picture, you know, we all get one chance, we get one shot at life. And in the end of the day, if you are missing out out on once in a lifetime memories and moments and opportunities, things that like really nag at your soul that you want to do, you know, a career you want to start or a skill you want to build, a hobby you want to take up, a place you want to live, a place you want to travel to, something you want to do. You know, for the longest time, I was always admiring those people that just had that courage to be like, you know what? I don't have any plans, but I'm going to go move to Thailand and I'm going to become like a tour guide, or I'm going to work as a like work trade at this restaurant so that I can live there for a bit and experience a new country. You know, I always admired those people and I was like, it literally is just a mindset. Because I remember sitting in this boat on the rapids in Maupin in Oregon, and there was this whole like three rows of these like 50 something career ladies, you know, kind of just in your classic kind of Oregon mom. And they were chatting with the guide on the boat, and he's like, yeah, I lived here for a while and I lived here. And they're like, wow, how did you afford that? And he's like, I just did some work trades. Like, you'd be amazed at how many people like will let you live in their ensuite in their house or have a room or whatever if you like work in their restaurant or something like that, you know? And he's like, and I just did it, you know, like you find a way, you figure it out. And he's like, but I would never like want to not experience life to the fullest. And they were like, man, I wish I did that, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you could have, you know, and that was like a really pivotal mindset moment for me to watch that happen. Cause I did not want to be one of those ladies sitting there being like, I should have done that instead of working a 9-to-5 my entire life and doing the status quo and, you know, missing out on all this amazingness that's around in the world. Okay. So that's just me. That is how I feel about things. You could totally be the opposite. You could totally not feel that way. And that's totally fine. But I just hope at the end of the day, when you arrive at the end, that you feel content and happy about how you spent your life. Were you there for your family to the fullest extent? Were you there for your friends the way you wanted to be? Were you there for yourself ultimately? Did you take care of yourself? You know, all these different things are really important. And I kind of wanted to open today's chat just touching on that topic, because today's Hot Take Summer is a mindset chat, a little pep talk, we'll call it, because I just have found I haven't really had a mindset Hot Take Summer yet. And there's a really important concept that I work on with my clients and kind of want to bring back around now that it's the second half of the year and with this really strong, proud Leo energy, for those of you who are into horoscopes and astrology. But whether or not you are, like, it doesn't hurt to just embrace it, right? I've always found that a lot of times people are just like kind of marching around in life being like, that's stupid, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, okay, well, that's because you think it is. And you're going to just think everything is stupid if you just have this grumpy, pessimistic kind of life view on what is right and what is wrong all the time. Anyways, I'll get off that soapbox. But at the same time, this moment is really important, and this chat today is really important, because I do want you to kind of get deeper into thinking about that. Because when you are at that place in your life where you sit down and you look at everything and you feel lack, or you feel discomfort, or you feel, you know, disappointment in choices you've made or any of that stuff, it's not to shame you. It's to hold a mirror to your face and be like, are you making the right decisions for the right reasons? Are you doing the things that you're doing in your life for the right reasons? Can you break that pattern, even if it's something that's always been expected of you? You know what I mean? Because that's the only thing that's going to separate you from a life that you're going to regret, or that's going to be meh, to a life that you loved and that you feel really confident and happy with. And it can be at any time in your life, you know, anytime. My grandma always told me you can always do something different at any point in your life. F what everybody else says, it doesn't matter. You know, if you don't have too big of an ego in it, you can do whatever you want at any time in your life. You can change entirely and it's okay. Because in the end, we are only walking with ourselves. We die. We're born by ourselves. We die by ourselves. You don't take anybody with you. You don't get to take anything with you, you know? So I know that's so deep. And I know that it's like, wow, I had no expectation for how this chat was going to go today. But I'm just being real with you guys, because it's something that's been on my mind and my heart, especially this last year, as I've been navigating a whole lot of big life changes and a lot of, you know, the world is tumultuous right now. There's a lot to be thinking about. There's a lot that's not promised, you know, like tomorrow isn't promised. And so having these things kind of in the forefront of your mind could be what makes or breaks your future, you know? And especially when you're thinking about how you take care of yourself in regards to food, fitness, all that jazz. And how you speak to yourself matters a lot too, you know? There's nothing you gain from being self-deprecative, you know? There's nothing you gain from that. And some people think that it helps them be stronger and work harder and seem quote unquote humble, but it's not. You're just not. You're making yourself feel worse and worse about yourself. And how you speak to yourself is similar to, like, you've seen those experiments before where, like, people talk to their plants and they say mean things to it. And then they have another plant and they say really nice things to it. And the plant that gets talked poorly to dies, or it gets wilty and it looks ugly. It's like, how does that even happen? But it's just universal energy, you know? So again, whatever you believe or wherever you're thinking, like, just open your mind to kind of the bigger picture and know that that stuff down to a cellular level happens to you too. So where you can kind of come into a mindset where you're looking at your health from a different perspective is going to be your best chance at a better, healthier life in the long term. And making sure that you can forgive yourself for stuff that you've done in the past. You know, I think that the biggest, most pivotal moment in my life was a moment I had in my mid-20s in an infrared sauna in Portland, where I had to literally just straight up address some of the mistakes that I made of things of, like, that I didn't like in my past character that I wanted to forgive and move on from, because it was just lingering around as guilt and shame until I did that. It was extremely relieving to know that, like, even if things happened to me, how I behaved or things that I did intentionally that I was like, why did I do that? You know, those things, like, we run away from constantly because we don't want to, like, our ego doesn't want to address that we did that or were that way. And there's a lot of power in being able to say sorry and acknowledge your own fucked up shit. I'm not going to, like, censor that. So that's something else too that I think a lot of people, as we kind of transition this conversation into healthier habits and your mindset around food and stuff, is that you sometimes can never make progress with how you feed yourself and treat yourself, so your nutrition and your fitness and all that jazz, if you don't forgive yourself for things that you're carrying shame in. And this is something I've seen a ton. I know at this point now what it looks like when a client isn't really addressing their internal work, because there's so many things that could have done, like, somebody could have touched you inappropriately as a child and you put on a lot of weight because you were trying to cover yourself up so that never happened again. Maybe you went through tumultuous narcissistic partners and they made you feel completely like dirt, and you've now just accepted that as who you are instead of breaking through it, working with somebody or working with yourself through self-help books and things like that to come out of the dirt, literally, because you are not dirt. Or maybe you're somebody who, like, went through just a horrible traumatic breakup where you were completely abandoned or taken advantage of, or, you know, caught blindsided. And that trauma changes your gut, you know, and that can affect you long-term massively, you know, until you start to address it and work through it. Or maybe you just had horrible parents that neglected you or physically abused you, or, like, you know, a whole lot of things. Trigger warning on some of that stuff. But a lot of these things really come into play with how we take care of ourselves and how we treat ourselves 100%. So it's really important to think about those things and look inward as you're on your mindset journey around food and fitness and such, and just healthier habits in general, because sometimes we find that we are actually self-sabotaging ourselves way more than we think. And ultimately, all you have in the end of the day is your health. And so prioritizing that is what separates successful people from unsuccessful people in the long term. And, like, you can define success in a lot of different ways. It doesn't mean that you have to be the most healthy person possible to be successful, but you have to be the best version of yourself. You do, because otherwise you're never going to know just how good you could be, or just how great you can serve, or whatever your life goal is, if you don't take care of yourself the best as possible. And that means taking time for yourself, prioritizing yourself where you need to. That means saying no to things that just don't align with your energy in a way that makes you disobey or dishonor your own needs. And that also means, you know, like, cutting out toxic relationships in your life, cutting out toxic food in your life, cutting out old mindsets that are not serving you. So with that said, let's jump into today's conversation. I'm going to talk to you all about how you can access a better mindset to impact your behavior and choices when it comes to healthier habits. And this one is kind of a shorter version of it. I plan to do a nice solid mindset course that I will be probably launching in the latter half of this year. So keep an eye on my website, but you can go to coachkales.com to join our once a month wellness newsletter. I do announce every time that I have something new that I'm offering you guys, whether it's a freebie thing or if it's a paid course. And so the best way for you to learn that is if you go onto my website and join our newsletter. Also, come join Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or at Kaylee Loren. Those are the two best pages for you to connect with me and my community. I would love to see you join. I will say hello if I catch you in my notifications. So all that to say, let's dive into this mindset conversation. I know it's already been kind of a biggie, but I would definitely say grab some pen and paper or notes in your notes app and pause where you need to if you need to observe some thoughts or patterns on your own if they come up while I'm chatting. But I would think you would really benefit the most from kind of taking some active notes and participation rather in today's conversation. So let's dive in. So one of the most important places to start, I believe, is understanding the difference between a fixed and a growth mindset. So a lot of you may have heard this before, so it's kind of a nice thing to be reminded. But when you have, you know, this is kind of breaking down mindset into two different categories. There's a lot of different ways that people can approach this, but I like bringing it down to just two because it helps us kind of think of either you're in this or you're out of this. So a fixed mindset is you're unwilling to change. You have a fixed belief system. Everything that you know right now, everything that dictates your behavior is the way it is now and is going to be. It's the old dog, new tricks kind of concept where you just are like, this is how I've always been. So, takes too much effort to change, you know? And that's fine-ish, but it's going to just kind of keep you on a very, I have a bad habit of using the word flaccid as an actual adjective for more things than what it's supposed to be used for. So I'm going to use it for this one. It's kind of a flaccid mindset. It's not going anywhere. It's just hanging out, existing, and just being the way it is. So that's the mindset, a flaccid fixed mindset. And, you know, it can work okay for some things, especially if your mind is in the right place, perhaps. But a growth mindset is going to be your best shot at life. For success and happiness and curiosity, you know, an interesting life and a life where you're no longer barred by really rigid, limiting mentalities. And a lot of us are born with fixed mindsets in a way because our parents teach us certain things. So those become our belief system. And whether or not your parents were also like free thinkers or just growth mindset, embodying growth mindset in a lot of different ways, you know, being open to things that are not the status quo, whatever it is, you know, that's lucky if your parents were like that and taught that to you. So you probably already have a growth mindset. Like if you're somebody who is constantly kind of adapting and changing and open to new ideas and open to conversation and changing your mind, even if it wasn't something you were passionately thinking in the opposite end. You know, recently, for example, I changed my mind on circumcision at birth. You know, I totally understand the whole mutilation thing now because I do realize that it is a disservice to our sons. And so it is kind of an interesting thing to be somebody who has a growth mindset because you kind of just get like, oh, wow, you know, younger me was totally wrong, but it's okay. It doesn't matter. You don't have to tie it to your ego. You know what I mean? And I think that was something that was really massively impactful for my own growth mindset. I practiced it the most through college because I was exposed to these concepts more through different books I read and people I talked to and, you know, the usual college experience where I think college can be fantastic for people who are taught to have critical thinking. If you are somebody who just wants to be told something and not think any deeper, college can be a little bit dangerous, but it kind of depends on where you go and all that kind of stuff. However, for me, I found it to be really interesting because I liked how it taught me that it's okay to change your mind and develop a different perspective and all that kind of stuff. And so same thing goes when you have your mindset around food. You know, the total status quo is that healthy food is boring, dieting is restrictive, you know, it sucks, this is lame, I can't eat that, you know, blah, blah, blah. And that would be a fixed mindset because you've decided already that changing your food behaviors and how you view healthy food is just innately horrible and sad and boring and all those different things. You know what I mean? But in reality, it's all perspective because anybody who cooks healthier on the daily or has developed skills, or maybe it was modeled for them through their parents because their parents cooked more with like real food, not as much packaged stuff, not the standard American diet, you know? Like for me, I was exposed to a lot of healthier food, not always cooked the healthiest, but like food that was made from real food because my grandfather was a chef. He cooked for us a lot of the time. And my stepmom later, she cooked for us a lot of the time from scratch. There was a learning curve, but it got so much better. And mom, if you're listening to this, I'm not going to talk about the pork chops. I'm just kidding. But it's something where what foods and what was exampled for you when you're younger definitely will mold your mindset around whether or not healthy food is boring. You know, I recently had gone to a friend's house and like they don't eat any vegetables and stuff like that. And then their parents cooked for us and the only vegetable on the table was a bowl of steamed broccoli, like no seasonings or anything on it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is a disservice to this poor vegetable because broccoli is best served sauteed or roasted with olive oil and a solid amount of sea salt and like cracked pepper or whatever herbs and spices you want to put into it. But you should always be roasting or sauteing your vegetables. You are murdering your vegetables when you steam it. That is such an old-fashioned thing from the low-fat phase in the 70s and 80s and part of the 90s, where we know now the detrimental mental health effects of having a low-fat diet long-term. That's why we're having women who are in their 40s getting early onset dementia because they've restricted healthy fats from their diet for so long that it's now starved their cells from the lipids that are necessary to even make hormones. Cholesterol is a lipid. Cholesterol is a starter of all of your hormones, if you didn't know that already. So cholesterol is not a bad thing. Cholesterol is necessary. So it's one of those things where when we don't question things that we were taught early on, we can be at a high risk of having long-term health effects that are negative because we just think like, oh, you know, I've always hated this food type. I'm not going to try it again as an adult or try it again cooked differently. You know, like one of my best friends, I cooked her a different type of kale. She's always hated kale. And then the type of kale that I bought, I like Italian kale. I've always bought, like they also have the term lacinato kale, dino kale. You know, it's a darker green, longer leaf. I always just take the spine out, rinse it, of course, chop it up, saute it. Again, just simple with olive oil and seasonings. And it's delicious. I like it when it gets a little crispy. And it's so much better than standard kale, like that really curly leaf kale. And my best friend came over and she's like, I don't really like kale. And I was like, okay, well, just try this kale. And she's like, dude, this is so good. I have never liked kale before. Why have I never tried this type of kale? And like a year ago, my sister texted me. She's like, dude, this type of kale is the best kale. I used it in my soup. And I was like, dude, I've been eating that kale for like years now. Like, why did you not know about this kale? So anyways, now everyone's going to be like, I need to try this kale. But I hope so, because it is a very delicious kale and it has lots of great nutrients because it's a dark leafy green. Just being curious. And like, I would say growth mindset is curiosity. It's being open to taking in new information and adapting and changing your current mindset. And so when you think about your eating habits and food habits and things that immediately come out of your mouth or immediately come to the front of your mind when you think about changing some of your unhealthy habits, write them down. You know, that's the thing that's going to be the first step to being able to make progress on this is identifying those negative thought patterns. You know, this is the only way that you can rewire your mindset, and you absolutely can. Like, I don't know if you've heard the term neuroplasticity, but it is the ability for the brain to change and mold new pathways. So you can absolutely rewire your mindset and faster than you think, because all you have to do is identify those negative thought patterns, recognize how those thoughts and beliefs about your food are not serving you, and whether or not they're actually true. You know, the first thing that you should do is be like, is this always true? Like, is this actually true? Does broccoli always suck? Or did my mom just always destroy broccoli and then serve it to me? So can I find a new way to like broccoli? You know what I mean? And you want to observe those self-sabotaging thoughts and how they're affecting your next choice. And that's going to be the first place you're going to start realizing there's a lot of things that you've just kind of been doing in autopilot, again, because your brain's been wired that way. But it may not be the only choice. It may not be the only option. You know, you can totally think about things differently. And that's really important to start to look at. And it's the only way that you can start rewiring your mindset, because you have to identify those negative thought patterns. So a lot of, you know, it's pretty common that clients I've had in the past that are the most resistant to change, or who always quote unquote need motivation or whatnot, they always subscribe to very stereotypical cultural phrases. Like the healthy food is boring. Yeah, but I want more wine. Can wine be healthy? I heard wine has antioxidants and it's healthy. You know, all those types of phrases and things that just enable unhealthy habits to keep creeping into their life. They pretty much never make success because they refuse to change those parts of how they view things. I've even had people in the past tell me that they can't have a healthier version of dessert because their brain just knows that it's not the real thing and they just want the real thing. And that's kind of complicated, because now you're believing that real dessert is the only best thing in the world. You're giving that way too much power. It's just another food item. And frankly, it's a food item that is worse for your health. You know, you can have it here and there. I for sure partake in full fat desserts, quote unquote, we'll call it full fat. But at the same time, I understand that me eating that consistently is not living my best life. That's me overdoing it and overindulging and becoming a slave to the, you know, chemicals of having a nice salty fat with sugar. You know, that is literally the recipe for addiction to our taste buds. And so that's something where if you are somebody who deals with that, you know, start to write that down, start to write phrases that kind of don't give that as much power. Like, a real dessert does not have to be the most gluttonous version of dessert. You know, that's an example. I can find joy in something that touches those taste buds that I need, but doesn't overdo it with how much carbs and sugar and fats and, you know, unhealthy things that will just harm my metabolism long term. You know, that's a really sciencey way to say it. Maybe that's just me. You're like, Kills, that's just your brain. But you get the point, right? So trying to think of positive affirmations and visualization and mindfulness around what you're eating and why you're eating it, or how you feel about food when you eat it, that's a really important place to start shifting your mindset. You know, that would be the next thing after you've identified those negative thought patterns. And thinking about how you want, like when you choose the mindset that you want to be in, you have to affirm it through that whenever you do the thing. So for example, if you are somebody who constantly is like needs a soda a day, when you don't have a soda that day, take a second or a minute to say thanks to yourself and like pat yourself on the back. Be like, cool, I actually didn't need a soda today and I feel fine. I feel great. I feel happy. Sometimes even if you don't feel necessarily happy that you didn't have a soda that day, if you can fake it till you make it in some ways with some of these things, that actually can massively help you get there closer to no longer feeling like sad and lack of dopamine when you don't get the thing that used to give you dopamine. You have to transfer the dopamine to a different behavior, to the better behavior. And that's like kind of the neuroscience side of it, is that if you give yourself negative feedback every time you do a healthier habit, you're going to continue that wiring that is not good for me. I don't like it. And that'll put you at higher risk of going back to your old habits. However, if you do positive affirmations and such afterwards, you will, even if you don't necessarily fully feel positive about it yet, it will start to push you towards feeling more and more and more positive, and you'll start to get dopamine for not having those sodas anymore, right? And so this is a tried and true practice. This isn't just me randomly spewing some stuff to you guys right now. This has worked in a lot of different ways for many of my clients in the past, especially through nutrition, because we learn a lot of food rules when it comes to food. And we learn a lot of mindsets around it because of how people talk about food on their own and how we treat it. And in reality, you know, food is food. It's just there existing. And we put all of this weird BS all over it. And in reality, you know, especially if you know what makes up the food you eat, little plug for my Flexible Food Foundations course that is launching soon. You can check it out in the show notes. That it's just food. You know, we make it so dogmatic, and it doesn't need to be. You know, there's people who take out entire food groups or food sources, and in the long run, it's typically hurting them more than it's helping them. And there's a lot to be said about understanding what your body needs, listening to your body, communicating to you about it. And so if you know that, like, having a nightcap of alcohol every night is really actually not making you feel better, it's just muting or numbing something that you don't want to feel because you just had like a really long day, maybe where you neglected yourself the entire day, or stuff in the world just happened, you know, and you emotionally took it heavy, or a variety of different reasons. Don't hurt yourself more by doing some of these stereotypical ways to numb out, or to, you know, just, you can, because then you build a dopamine response to alcohol, for example. And that's where alcoholics become alcoholics, is because they like the way they feel when they're inebriated and they get dopamine from it. And then they end up becoming addicted because then they start just to get that feeling and they crave that dopamine and they just want to have alcohol every single night and as much of it as possible for some people, so that they can just really grab on to one of the few sources they can control that's giving them dopamine in the moment. And trying to unwire that can be even harder when it comes to drugs, because alcohol is a drug. You know, it is a drug. It kills a lot of people and it kills our cells in our body. And so it's one of those things that we have to observe, especially in seeing, just because everybody else is drinking it and it's a social thing. I'm just going to have one beer. I'm just going to have one glass of wine. I'm just going to have two cocktails because it's happy hour and they're on cheap, you know. Those things creep in and they hurt us way more than they help us, even though we think that we're winding down and we're having fun. You know, if you can find other, you know, mocktails or habits, like going out and doing a hike with a friend or calling somebody on the phone and walking outside, you know, you get dopamine from community. You get a lot of dopamine from community, actually. Finding a class to go to, you know, recently I've been consistently going to my yoga studio here out in Monterey, and I love it because it's another form of community. It's been very challenging to get community out here, especially as an adult when you don't go to college or something, like, you know, how we usually build friends and community. And a lot of our friends have moved further north in California or further south. So we're kind of in this weird limbo. But for me, then I'm trying to find ways to get dopamine and community in what I do have control over, you know? And so you can, you know, a lot of people will be like, oh, it's either a glass of wine or I call my friend. And it's like, yes, it actually is, because those are different ways that you're searching for dopamine. It's not actually the wine itself. You became in this ritual of drinking the wine or whatever it is that's your, you know, vice. But or, you know, pint of ice cream or cake or baking cookies or, you know, a lot of people go to sugar, but, you know, there's pizza and other habits, fast food. You know, I know a lot of people who go to fast food for short-term dopamine, and all of those things can totally be replaced by things that are completely not even related. But because they give you dopamine and you start to be like, I'm feeling really crappy right now, I'm just going to go drive to McDonald's. Be like, no, I'm going to walk outside and I'm going to call my best friend, or I'm going to listen to a podcast that's funny, you know, an engaging podcast. Or maybe I'm going to distract myself because I want to learn something from a podcast. So I'm going to listen to Rebel Wellness. You know, just kidding. But whatever it is that you end up finding, you have to start putting those positive spins and affirming it for yourself so that you can start to rewire and build happiness. You didn't finish your plate of food for once, and you are always an overconsumer. You don't know how to eat smaller portions. You need to cheer yourself on when you push the plate away from yourself. You know, you have to think about every time that you say no to something that normally you would have said yes to that would have continued your unhealthy habits, unhealthy eating, you know, anytime you meal prep, like get excited about it, share photos, whatever it is, you know. But again, the biggest thing with all of these is that you don't expect perfection. A lot of people have been raised with this whole scam of perfection that honestly puts people back in backwards more than it ever pushes people forwards, unfortunately, because most people will be like, I'm just not going to do it at all because I'm not being perfect. You know, I'm not going to do I'm not as good at this, so I'm not going to do it anymore, or I'm just going to lessen how frequently I do it. Or for people like, I know, does everybody has a friend who made like a fitness Instagram back in the day and was like, this is where I'm going to track my fitness progress. And they post like maybe 2 to 8 photos of their journey. And then suddenly the page is dead. Like, who else knows that? And that's okay. You know, it was them trying to put an intention forward and have the accountability of sharing it. But then somewhere along the way, things fell wayside again, right? And that all stems from mindset. You know, if you have the mindset that you are, you know, you want to keep your teeth healthy, you brush your teeth every night, right? That's the easiest thing to relate to putting in the habit of walking at night. You know, if people don't like doing fitness, you know, a lot of people will be like, okay, Els, but like, it's not the same as brushing my teeth because like fitness means I have to like put it into my calendar and then get dressed and then go to the gym and then do that. And then I have to sometimes shower after I go to the gym, you know, whatever. It's like, yeah, if you think about it that way, yeah, it could suck. But what is doing the fitness in your lifestyle actually providing you? You know, more energy, stronger bones, better looking body, longer longevity, a whole lot of different things, better blood sugar management, better hormones, that which means better menopause when menopause comes around. You know, there's a whole lot of things that come from putting in this quote unquote uncomfortable habit of doing fitness at least 2 to 4 times a week. You know what I mean? But if that barrier of entry is still too high for you, then walk, put in the habit of walking every night after dinner, no questions asked. If you don't have anything that is extremely important, go for a 20-minute walk. It's so easy and it honestly will feel really good because it's going to help you digest better and manage your blood sugar after you eat dinner. So that would be, you know, little ways that you can start to change your mindset, because if you rewire like, oh, I'm looking forward to having this walk after I eat because it helps me digest and blah, blah, blah. Like that's going to help wire your mind to put that habit into your lifestyle, you know? So there's so much that we can keep going into here, and I will probably continue this. I for sure am going to continue it in a mindset course coming soon. So stay tuned for that. However, it is really important that you understand that you have the power over your entire life with all in all ways through every single decision and choice you make and whichever mindset you decide to exist in. Are you going to be a fixed mindset person or a growth mindset person? Are you going to work on the areas that you lack in to be the better person? You know what I mean? Are you going to let go of beliefs that are not serving you anymore? Because you should, in my opinion. Sometimes I always think that, like, especially my editor, when she's listening to this, I can tell that she's going to just like LOL at some of like the really harsh things that I say. But that's just who I am. Okay. I hope that you guys appreciate that, because I don't like the BS approaches. I like to be a little fluffy at times, but most of the time I'm like, I'm just going to tell it to you straight, because that's, I think that's the highest form of respect, is telling it to somebody straight. And a lot of people don't always think that way, but I think that's because we've been like grown up in this passive aggressive, like magical world of lying that I think everybody's just putting on a front to try to appear some way or whatever, you know, and it's not. And so for me, the same thing goes with your mindset. Like, tell yourself straight exactly what you know you're doing wrong, get real with yourself, and commit to yourself. You know, the greatest form of self-love is taking the better care of yourself and being radically responsible for your habits and, you know, just everything to do with yourself. You are yourself, you know, like that's obvious, but like nobody else can change you. You're the only person who can change yourself, and you're the only person who is you in the same, you know, in the same exact breath. Like, you are the fantastic and creative and unique individual you are, and the world with all of our limited belief mindsets and just weird ick that especially like diet culture and stuff like that puts on us, we get smaller and smaller and we get boring in some, to some extent, you know. Do you have hobbies? You know, do you do them weekly? If you don't, you should, because those are your creative outlets. It's going to give you dopamine. You're going to just keep going to watching Netflix and eating junk food and going out to drink because you're not partaking in things that light your soul up and that help you become the best version of yourself when it comes to living a really amazing and colorful life, you know? And I think that it's really disappointing that it's so common nowadays to see less and less of that. However, you have the power to be the rebel, you know? And that's the whole reason why I named this podcast Rebel Wellness, is be the rebel in your own life. Change the status quo for yourself. And that's all that matters, is you doing what you want for you. And so I'm going to end this podcast on that today. I hope that this was a nice pep talk to kind of help you shift more into a positive mindset, look at your thought patterns differently, and the way that the mindset you bring into your world, how it's affecting you, whether it's negative, positive, you know, whatever way you are holding yourself back, this is your permission to take the control back and access the best version of yourself possible. All right. All right. So I'd love for you to rate and review our podcast. It helps us grow, especially sharing reviews on Apple. It helps more exposure and growth for the podcast. So I'd really love for you to go and do that for us. And if anything, too, share this episode with a friend, with a family member on your Instagram story. If you think it's a topic that you think people could really benefit from. And I really personally think that it is a great topic. So I hope that it helped you, if anything. But as always, celebrate your strength and nourishment, walk with confidence, and I will catch you next week on another episode of Rebel Wellness. What did you think about that episode? If you enjoyed it, I hope that you would come join my community on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast or my coaching page at Kaylee Loren, or both. I would love to see your name pop up on my new follows list. I might say hello if I catch you. And I would also like to invite you to come check out my website, coachkales.com, if you're interested in seeing any more of the educational learning resources I have created for you. I have a whole ton of amazing free downloads that you can like dip your toe in the water of what working with me looks like. And if you are really vibing with what I have to say and how I teach it, come explore my courses that are available for purchase. They are all do it yourself. In the near future, I plan to have some awesome group coaching that will be all live. So stay tuned for that. And the best way to know when I'm going to launch those is through my monthly wellness newsletter, which is my hand curated, not AI generated, monthly all things health and wellness newsletter that I created to be your new favorite resource for staying up to date with the latest in the health world, self-care resources that I've created, and a bunch of the clean beauty picks that I personally use myself, and a whole lot more, as well as early access and discounts to anything that I create in the future for specifically my newsletter sign up. So if you'd like to sign up, head to coachkales.com and add yourself to my mailing list. Last but not least, I would absolutely love it if you would help our podcast grow by simply sharing a rating or review wherever you stream and are listening to me right now, and share it on your social medias or text it to some friends or family members if this episode resonated and was something that you think could help somebody else, because I really would love to help anybody in your circle if I've been helping you. So I absolutely am so grateful that you're here. And if you listened all the way through, you are a real one. So, all right, Rebel, until next episode.